She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
Good evening and welcome to a crazy, crazy world. It's Corby Mitlide. I have 98% of my voice back, but this morning I swear to God I sounded like Harvey Firestein. And I was not going to miss two radio shows in a row. So I told Brent I was going to bring in my New York companion in karma, and that is the fabulous Allie Cheslick. Allie is a marvelous medium and intuitive counselor herself. She's got her own radio show over on Wings of Love, and she and I live very close to each other, so it was kind of like one of those click-and-lock friendships. And it's lovely when you can have that kind of a friendship with someone whose work in your field you really respect. So when I realized I might run out of voice before we run out of radio time, I dropped her note and said, Allie, would you co-host just in case I become a squeak toy? And so, Allie, you darling, thank you so much for stepping into the breach, babe.
Anytime, the check's in the mail. No, no, it's so much fun working with you. And we've done events together, too, and we've had a blasty blast. So
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And let me just do this.
What?
Hi, Corby. How are you? Okay, yeah, she had a really deep voice this morning.
Basso profundo.
I don't know if it was Harvey Firestein deep, but it was definitely not Corb.
No, it was not me. And if you're wondering who Harvey Firestein is,
I love
him. Remember the movie Hairspray guys, and John Travolta played the mom? Well, Harvey Firestein originated it on Broadway, which should let you know.
Yeah, or the other alternative is he was the brother to Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire.
There you go. There's another one. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're all looking with more or less trepidation at Hurricane Sandy, who is barreling up the coast. Will I be on the air with you next week? Depends on what she does. But for those of us in Schoharie County that feel like this is, as Yogi Berra used to say, deja vu all over again, since we did Irene last year, well, maybe it is, which is a, you know, kind of twisted segue into the idea of tonight is a past life party. Not that I'm planning to see my life go in front of my eyes from Sandy, trust me on that. But as I said, last Friday was my 10th anniversary with my utterly fabulous husband. And in honor of that, I thought that we might devote the past life party to love, whether it's someone you're with now, someone that you used to date but is gone but you can't forget, or the kid who gave you your first kiss in seventh grade and like burned himself into your memory. Whatever that is, yeah, we will be happy to explore it. We've got a couple of people who emailed us information, so we will be tackling those. But as always, you are more than welcome to call in. And this time, you have not one, but two fabulous intuitives who can peel back the gauze upstairs and help you figure out what's going on. So, in order to join us, it's 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. See, there you go. Allie, how do you see past lives? Not how do you find them, but what do you think they mean?
Oh, I was going to say, I was going to be a smarty pantsies and say in the past. guess it wasn't funny. How do I see past lives? Well, you know, we talk about the Akasha records that contain the past, present, and the future. So it's something that, you know, I actually didn't know it was even called the Akasha when you look at someone in that at space and time frame. And so for me, it's interesting because I can hear the name and it usually works on the vibration. And then you know, adding to the vibration of their birthday or their sign, a photograph. And a photograph is like the clincher for me. And it's like, wow, it just puts me right there energetically with, you know, looking at the past lives and, you know, I don't know how far back I've ever really gone with someone, but I know I've gone back quite a few lifetimes. And I know when there's someone that's got like seriously multiple past lifetimes, and usually it, that's kind of interesting. I mean, people for me that are what I call old souls definitely have like a string of past lives that have attached themselves. Not necessarily, you know, past life energy that comes forward too for me is kind of about healing certain parts of this lifetime in order for you not to repeat it if you do reincarnate, you know, in a future lifetime. So it's kind of interesting. I don't necessarily know that I tag karma to every past life, but I do think that on that level, there's something to what happens in this lifetime is sort of a mirrored reflection of things that happen in past lifetime. And for me, it's, you know, even for myself on a personal note, it was validated, you know, through a reading I had done with Doreen Virtue, actually, on one of her teleseminars. And I mean, the things that she picked up on actually also happened to me in this lifetime, which was freaky deaky. So, you know, if people aren't quite sure about it, there's definitely something to past lives and reincarnation. And there's plenty of information on the internet. Plus, you know, there's plenty of real true life stories of reincarnated souls. And especially the one that always comes to mind is that little boy who was the, I think it was World War II, the military son, and who, and the little boy met the sisters that are still alive. Mm-hmm. You know that story?
Sure do.
Yeah. So that's the one I always throw out to people because it's really, in my opinion, it bears some serious significance to understanding that we are so much more than we understand.
And the other thing about past lives is, I totally agree with you, it's not always karma, as right. in, you know, carrot and stick. Sometimes it's what did we decide we wanted to work on this lifetime? That's where we go with Robert Schwartz's book, with the idea that you can come in learning about healing or service or contrast or just balancing the energies. So it's not just carrot and stick. So we've
yes.
got a list. I sent Allie a copy of all of the people that sent something in. Allie, which one really struck you that you wanted to tackle first?
Oh, well, there was quite a few. You would get quite a few. You're so cute. You call them inquiries, but you've still got so many messages from people. You know, well, let's go to, we can even go with the first one, you know, Crystal from Slingerlands, New York.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, what she said was, Dan, my husband, says things that Ted, my ex, always said. I would love to know more about our past connections. Did Dan and I ever have children together? How did our past relationships end and why? You said that Dan and Ted were brothers before and I'd been with both in past lifetimes. I'm so intrigued. Is this lifetime a gift not meant to be so hard? And why did it happen in my life so late? Well, I do see Dan and Ted and Crystal kind of like, if you can imagine a triangle with rounded edges that kind of still bumps along the road, and they've done this several times. One life in Greece, one life in Russia, two or three lives in North America, whether that's United States or Canada, it bounces around in there. And it's almost like, in many of these cases, Arthur, Guinevere, and Lancelot, in that the three of them love each other, but there is that connection. They can't both have Crystal. There was no life as a Mormon. So there you go. Allie, you picked up some stuff specifically about Ted and Dan that I did not. You want to talk about it?
Okay. I was just tweeting.
Okay.
I was tweeting the show. Okay, so I took some notes because, yes, Ms. Corby did me a solid and sent me the sheets. I actually picked up a lot on Crystal, too. You had sent me a photo, which was very cool. And again, that photo kind of jumped me back a couple of centuries. And so I picked up the brothers were twins in a past life. And so much so that, you know, they were the typical what we understand of twins, like, you know, one would start the sentence, the other would finish it, you know, both say the same things. I think that's part of the reason why they're very much alike energetically and as far as what they say in terms of new verbiage. I also think they have some very similar mannerisms. And maybe certain types of things in their personality. You know, I understand that they don't look alike, but I have to say that in past life energy, I do get that they looked alike in quite a few past lives as, you know, brothers. And I think they were brothers in more than one past life. I also think they were father and son. But interesting also, and I think Ted was the father and Dan was the son. With Crystal, I get... interesting connection with her. I get that she's definitely got a healer's vibration in this lifetime. I think that comes from many, many past lives of working in, I don't know, the esoteric on some level, but working, you know, in certain types of different modalities. She's definitely got an angelic connection for me. There's definitely a very Celtic connection, and I keep picking up around the age of 12. And I almost want to say, I have to say very Catholic and so very religious for me as a young girl and even growing up and in that particular lifetime into becoming a nun. So that was interesting. But I also picked up on ancient Egyptian energy with her, very much the priestess energy. And then I picked up Roman male energy with her. She would have been considered a doctor back in Rome. And I also picked up in the Roman time frame that Dan, the current husband, also was in Rome for me with her, but she was the male, he was the female in that particular lifetime. And so that's the first time for me I kind of feel like they met on another level. I don't pick up Ted in that particular lifetime. But I do pick up that relationship with them, which I find is very interesting because on some level, I even think there are things that are currently in their relationship, and I don't know, she would have to write in to validate. But I think there are some things, and even in this relationship, in this lifetime, where it almost seems like it could be considered role reversal.
When you say role reversal, what do you mean?
Okay, just for an example... like he would be the stay-at-home dad and she'd be the worker, or he would do things that would be considered maybe more feminine and she carry more of a male energy, which is interesting, or she would do things that we would typically think men would only do, you know, so like, you know, she's not afraid to swing a hammer, let's say, or, you know, do certain things. There's not just that divine feminine with her. I think she's got a lot of both. And I think he does too. I think he's pretty much in touch with a feminine energy or the feminine side. I actually think too, I'll just say this quick. I feel like all her relationships, and I mean her emotional love interest relationships, are all about healing the past life energies that were not completed. There's the energy of learning the true forgiveness, acceptance. Acceptance is huge. I don't know where that's connected to her on a personal level currently, but I feel like acceptance is something that she's had to deal with a lot in this particular lifetime. Gratitude. And I'm not saying that she's not grateful, but gratitude was huge. That energy came in. And also the relationships that she has with family and friends, and even past, you know, in this life, you know, lovers, she's serving as a reflection of unconditional love to all of them, because I don't necessarily know that she gets it from them, but I do know that she gives it out. So that was kind of my two cents on that.
She is one of the largest hearted people that I know. Like me, she has been through a great deal. But she's a weeble. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. So when she met Dan, I understand it was one of those instant lightning strike kind of things. But it took a while for her to make the decision, Dan or Ted. Dan feels very much like a rock to me in that no matter what emotional storms he has inside, and, you know, he's not totally placid lake. Once he has committed to Crystal, there ain't no leaving. It is what it is, what it is, until they're two little raisins on the dance floor. Mm-hmm. So it's time. I think that there have been other lives where she was with Ted instead of Dan, and there's just this doggedness about Dan that if it doesn't happen this lifetime, it'll happen in the next one. If it doesn't happen then, it'll happen in the third. So I think that's one of the reasons when I look at the particular picture I sent you of them, which was on their honeymoon, there's this glint of triumph in Dan's eyes, but it's not a nasty sort of thing. It's coming into port, if you will.
Oh yeah, I mean, and you know, even with Ted, you know, Ted's energy for me, that was a very interesting relationship. I feel that there was a lot of value to that relationship in terms of lessons and in terms of, you know, and I hope she understands what I mean, but her learning to really value who she is. And I think he needed to step into that role to have her understand, you know, that she was worthy of something, you know, even greater. And not that the relationship with him wasn't good. You know, I mean, everybody has problems in their relationships. I don't care who you are. But I think that, you know, it was sort of the stepping stone to Dan. And I would agree with you. I think, you know, there's a great energy there with him. And again, there's a lot of love in especially in that photo. And I realized, you know, okay, honeymoon, everybody looks like they're in love. But his really speaks from his heart chakra, huge for me.
So, Crystal, yeah. Dan, there's a belated wedding present from the Reverend What Married You. Hope that it makes sense and gives you more information to plug into the marriage. This is Empower Radio with Empower Readings with Corby Midlide and my fabulous co-host tonight, Allie Cheslick. Allie, let people know where they can find you if they're deciding, oh, this is really cool new energy. I want to go play with that.
Okay. I'm on Achieve Radio on Monday nights, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific time. And we do take callers and we do take live in quick messages. There's a little system over there that you, and it's pretty easy to navigate. And of course, I'm on Facebook as Corby is. You can find me under Allie Cheslick, or my fan page is Allie Cheslick Fans. And then my website is alliecheslick.com. My email is allie@alliecheslick.com. Pretty easy. And I'm on Twitter too. So is Corb. You're not on Twitter enough though, Miss Corby. And just saying.
Yes, ma'am.
But yeah, and I'm on Twitter as Allie Cheslick. Pretty much anywhere you just Google Allie Cheslick, or as my friend Andy calls me, the G girl, you'll be able to find me. I'm pretty easy to find. Yeah, and I do events with Corby, so then you can find us together.
Okay, so Let's see.
Where can they find you?
Where can they find me? Oh, God, they can't avoid me. They can find me at firethroughspirit.com. They can find me here every Thursday night. They can find me over on Facebook, Corby Midlide, or Fire Through Spirit. Or if you're interested in taking classes with me, there is also a page for White Raven Webinars. But I'm very easy to get by phone, 877-321-CORBY. That is assuming that Hurricane Sandy doesn't score phone lines. So, okay.
Yeah, and I would encourage you guys, if you're ever interested in learning to read cards, you know, angel cards, oracle, whatever type of cards, Corby's Decadence class is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody out there knows, I always say, we are not special. We're delicious. We're wonderful. But we're not so special that you cannot do what we do. And I'm more than happy to teach people how to read for themselves. Because you don't always need to come to us. If you can do the everyday tour bus stuff for you, if you can start trusting your own intuition, your own insights, that opens up a whole new world for you. But that's one of the reasons that I go around and I teach decadence. So go check the website and you'll see where I'm teaching it next. We're somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes to break, so let's do a quick one. Lisa from Adams, New York, her guy Jeremy, is he my twin flame? If so, when will we reunite, and how can I help him understand the process? If not, is he, I guess that means the twin flame, out there? Let me talk to you a little bit about twin flames versus soulmates, okay?
Cause that's Thank
important. You. Good. People toss these things around all the time. I read recently that a Scandinavian princess is marrying a wealthy U.S. financier because she's his soulmate or something. Soulmates are our core team. It's not just one person. You don't always have to marry him. Examples, in my life, my father was my best friend. Was he a soulmate? Bet your booties. My last husband wasn't. This husband, yes, indeed. My spiritual mentor, that in the 30 years I've known her, there have been a couple of years we didn't talk. Yeah, she's one too. Our soulmates are the people that we incarnate with time and time and time again because they're the people who have our backs. They're the people we enjoy working with. A twin flame is a little different. A twin flame is like a lightning strike. A twin flame is, it is a romantic situation. Bogart and Bacall, Burton and Taylor, John and Yoko. Those are twin flames, but they don't always incarnate. That's the situation. So, oh good, we're going to have a call from Erica after the break. So now that we've explained soulmate versus twin flames, you got a quick hit for Lisa?
Yeah, well, yes, and you need to get out of my head, because on my notes I wrote, when she asked, is he my twin flame, I wrote, I get no on the twin flame, soulmate, yes. Mm-hmm. So I wrote soulmate energy, yes, no on the twin flame. I think, and I, for me, I feel that she'll meet someone else in the February-March timeframe that would be more of a twin flame energy. And twin flames can be soulmates, but it's like all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums.
Yep.
So it's kind of like all of us are soulmates, but not all of us are soulmates that are twin flames. I do believe it runs the same, you know, energy. You know, we're all soulmates to one another, I believe, and it's just a matter of the degree and the energy and whatever. And as far as the twin flame energy goes, not all twin flames, you know, they're still soulmates, but you get what I'm saying. Okay, good. So
yeah.
I think February, March timeframe is when she'll meet someone who's more in the vibration of a twin flame and also, you know, soulmate energy. And for me, I have to say that I don't know how tall Lisa is, but I have a feeling she's probably around 5'5", maybe 5'4". I mean, I'm 5'9". I think she's considerably smaller than me. But I kind of feel like he's around 5'10 to 6 foot energetically. And I also...
Jeremy or the future whoever?
The future whoever.
Okay.
And I also get a feeling that he also may be a fire sign. So that's either an Aries, a Leo, or a Sagittarius. I don't know why. I just got a very strong vibration of that energy. So we'll see what happens. I hope she keeps in touch and lets us know.
Okay. We are coming up on break. This is Corby Midline with my partner in crime tonight, Allie Cheslick. We do want to hear from you, so it's 248-809-3475. Tonight's subject is past lives and love. We'll be with Erica from Miami after the break.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Romaine. As a former model, I used to walk runways all over the world. Paris, Milan, New York. This is Salif Diarra. As a local health worker, he walks the pathways of his village in Mali, West Africa, every day to help treat severely ill children. Like many children in the developing world, those in Salif's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children in Salif's village get the care they need to survive. And even though you can't walk in his shoes, you can help him with his work. Help one, save many. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help get the good where it needs to go. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Wild animals face many risks at the hands of humans, but the pervasive and unprecedented destruction of their habitat threatens their very existence. More than 30% of the world's mammals and birds are considered threatened with extinction. We're in the midst of the first great mass extinction to be caused by humans. The only humane solution is land conservation and connecting fragmented wildlife habitats. For more than a decade, the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust has worked with private landowners to protect wildlife by preserving natural habitats and establishing permanent sanctuaries. Creating shelters without walls, the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust takes a unique stand in the National Land Trust community by prohibiting recreational and commercial hunting and trapping on our properties. Those who care deeply about animals must work together to ensure that wildlife will always have the wild places they need to survive and thrive. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
Welcome back to Empower Readings with Corby Mintlide. Your calls are next at 248-809-3475. 248-809-3475. Empower Readings on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Empower Readings. This is Corby Mintlide, and I am graced by my fabulous co-host this week, Allie Cheslick, because I am getting over a case of the galloping crud, and there is no knowing when my voice is going to give out. So there you go. Anyway, it's Past Lives tonight, and we're looking for questions on love and relationships. And the first person we have up to break is from Miami. Miami,
hello.
Florida. Okay, who do we have here? Erica, is it?
Hello. Yes, Erica.
Hi, Erica. How bad is it down there right now from the storm?
It's not that bad, believe it or not. It's raining a little bit, but it's not that bad.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You have a question on your marriage. What you got?
Well, you know, my husband and I, we have a very deep bond. We love each other. We're committed to each other. But we have these little issues that keep coming up. And it's almost like we can't find the middle ground ever. So we just let those issues go and we just go on with life. But these issues keep coming back. And it's almost like he would have to give up who he is to, you know, to meet me halfway. And I would have to give up who I am to meet him halfway. So I just want to know what that's all about, and if we'll ever, you know, find a middle ground, because we definitely want to be together. We have, you know, neither of us has that doubt of wanting
okay.
to be together.
We're going to need, I think, name and birthday, but first, can you give me an idea of what the little issues are that you guys always trip over?
There are a couple of different things. It's my idea of how our relationship should be versus his idea of what our relationship should be. I'm a little bit more traditional than he is in some cases. It's different things. That's why, you know, it's not one particular thing. It's just I'm a little more traditional. He's an Aquarius. He's a little bit more like, you know, wants a little bit more freedom. Like, it's nothing okay. specific that I could put my finger on, really.
Okay.
When's your birthday?
My birthday is October 8th.
Oh, Libra. Happy belated. Yes.
Thank you.
What about your guy? When's his birthday?
January 28th.
Hmm. So that feeds him into Capricorn, yes?
Aquarius.
Okay. See, I have to take the old Monkees album, Pisces, Aquarius, Capricorn, and Jones Limited, and go backwards from there. I'm not an astrologer.
Okay, no problem.
What I'm sensing is, it's very funny. I see the two of you as same gender. Both of you in a business situation, turn of the century, and you have two different ways of doing things.
Right.
You work for the same company. You're partners in the same company, but you sneak back and forth to see, well, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to do the other thing. But you both believed in the product, so you didn't give up the ship. And what I'm seeing is we're talking about, like, early cars. You were not Ford. You were way back in the very early days when there were lots and lots and lots and lots of different cars, Stanley Steamers and Rios and Pierce Arrows and all kinds of things like that. This time, you decided to come in a different kind of partnership and different genders so that you could experience what it is to get the emotional life on a compromise to create something bigger rather than a business one. Okay, I don't know if you guys have kids.
Yes, we do. And we want more. We'd like more.
Not a car this time. This time it's something that will move the world ahead, not just people in a vehicle. So that's the take that I have. What do you got,
that
Alan?
Sounds like us.
It does?
Do you have two children right now, Erica?
We've got one. We'd like another one. We're talking about another one.
Okay, you're going to have... Okay, look, can I just say this right now? There's an expression, and when my nanny pops into my head when I'm talking to someone, I have to just share it. So I'm going to say you're like Fertile Myrtle.
Uh-huh.
Do you understand what that means?
Yes and no. I mean, I don't know if it means anything more than...
Fertile Myrtle...
If you were Henry VIII's first wife, he wouldn't have had another five. He would have been popping out the kids.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So in essence, I'm telling you that if you don't want to have a baby, like right now, is the child you have right now a boy?
A girl.
Okay. I got to be honest. I keep seeing you with a boy and a girl, one of each.
Okay.
Now, I know you said you want a lot more. I think you're going to start with two. And I think if you have any more, it's going to be how you work out the little differences in the relationship. So I'm not saying that you're going to ever get divorced. I mean, I can't predict your free will future. But I'd venture to say the next one in terms of baby bumps, which energetically feels like a boy. Okay, so here's where I kind of come in with, all right. So what I mean by Fertile Myrtle is, I mean, you can get pregnant like, you know, woohoo, Johnny on the spot. So if you don't want to do that right now, I would, you know, definitely continue to play safe. I'm just saying, because your husband's a real lover. You know, and I got to give the man that. He's got, for me, I keep feeling this really, he's got a very romantic side. And not that it comes, I don't think it comes out as often as you'd like. But
right. But
when he does, it's like, oh, hello.
Yeah.
he's really on it. Do you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
even if it's like once a month, but when he does it, it's like it's so worth waiting the whole month for. Do you know what I mean? Makes sense?
Yeah.
I think the little things that you kind of in that space of disagreeing on, I think eventually you'll work it out. I think it's just a matter of I don't know, getting to, you know, listen, 6 years, and you guys were together 2 years before you got married?
No, we got married after 3 months of knowing each other.
After 3 months, okay.
Oh, but we were long distance for 2 years before we kind of moved in together for good.
Okay, thank you, because I kept picking up on the two before the whole, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy after all, Peter.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of my thing. I mean, honestly, you could be as pregnant as early as next year if you wanted to. I'm just saying, if you want to make sure that you just kind of have things in order for yourself, because once you start, you know, creating and making the family a little bit bigger, realize that sometimes those smaller things can kind of grow into bigger things. And so you kind of want to avoid it. So what I'm going to suggest to you too is, I got to be honest. Okay. Is your grandmother passed over on mom's side of the family?
Yes.
Okay. I need to give her to you right now because I feel like I'm being lectured by her. Do you understand when I say that? And she's really kind of coming in very connected to you. I almost feel like that she was a big part of your life growing up.
She raised me. I didn't live with my mom. She raised me. She's my mom.
Okay. Yeah. And I was going to say, she feels almost like a mom more than a grandmother, but I know she's a grandmother because she's making me look at, you know, she's hilarious.
Yeah, but she's my mom. No, she's really, I always say my mom died in 2004, and that, you know, because I don't have a very good relationship with my mom, so she was my mom. Yeah.
Okay. So you understand. I just need to tell you that she's coming through and I feel like I'm being lectured. So I'm just going to share that with you. Okay. Are you Spanish?
My husband is, but we're from the islands. We're from Haiti.
Okay. But your husband is Spanish because I keep hearing it. You know, give me, you know, she keeps telling me things in Spanish and I'm like, okay, who's Spanish? Okay. I just needed to acknowledge that. So she's acknowledging your husband by, you know, delineating the fact that he's, you know, he's Spanish. So we're on the same page here. She's making me feel like this can work, but I do need to tell you the way she makes me feel is she gets that you're traditional. She's kind of taken the compliment for raising you that way. But she said you have to learn to be a little bit more flexible because this is a good man. She really makes me feel like your husband's a very good man. She's very happy with him in your life. And okay, that's interesting. Does he play basketball?
Yeah, he does.
Okay, she's showing me him playing basketball, and like he's pretty good, you know. So I was like, okay, what is? I don't question it. I just need to give you that too. That's just for your own validation that, you know, she's coming through and she's letting me know she's really watching over you. And let me just give you one other thing too. I know your birthday is October and it just passed. Happy birthday! And his is in January, but I need to go back to August. And I need to acknowledge a birthday anniversary or passing in August. Do you understand that?
Oh, yeah. Yep. My mom's birthday.
Okay. So I just need to give you all that. And I need you to know that also, I wouldn't say you were very religious, but I know you have your faith because she makes me feel like she feels your prayers. Okay. And also, for as much as you don't have a good relationship with your mother, she does make me feel that at some point in the future, it's going to come back around and it's going to heal and resolve itself. Do you understand what I mean? Did I lose everybody?
Hello? Erica?
Did we lose her?
We may have.
Okay, I'm sorry if we lost her.
Okay, well, I think that we gave her a fair amount of stuff.
Yeah, anyway, so I just want to just tell you that that's going to resolve itself and that's how she makes me feel. But these little things, you know, just kind of learn to let some of them go. It's not so much even the compromising. It's more of really what's important. Is it the relationship and the love, or is it the specific traditional things for you and the freedom for him? So, it, you know, she's basically making me feel like you can work it out. So, okay. So I didn't mean to go on. I'm sorry. When they come through, I just don't, you know.
Look, remember, you do things that I don't do. As a matter of fact, Allie and I just both got accepted, is this exciting, to a master class with John Holland next year. It's an amazing class. There are only 50 people accepted, and they vet you. They make sure that you have enough chops, if you will, to do it. And, yes, you guys know that I do mediumship, but doing the mediumship like Allie does is what I really want to learn to do. And that's where I find my particular weakest point. So that's what I'm going up there for. You know, Allie, you could teach the class. I don't know what you're doing with it.
Because doing the mediumship like this is, you know, I don't know. I feel comfortable, but then when I have to stand in front of the crowd, I'm a nervous wreck. And then I get all kinds. Sometimes I get scattered and I hear so much that, you know, well, you saw how I was at the Vanderbilt house. I talk so much like it was like, oh, my God, Allie, shut up already.
Yeah. So. All right. Allie, I want you to take the Betsy from Portland, Maine. Just grab it and see what you can do with it.
Okay. Do you want me to read out the?
Yep.
Okay. So Betsy from Portland wrote in and she said, I met Bob 10 years ago when I was married and developed an immediate crush on him. Since we were both married, I felt this was a ridiculous waste of my energy. We've kept in touch over the years as we work in the same industry. And although I have met thousands of men over the past 10 years, no one has moved my mountain like this man. I want to meet him. Okay, never mind. I used to ask myself, what is it about him? I think about him all the time. It got to the point where if I knew I would be running into him at an event, I'd purposely avoid him. I couldn't stand seeing him because I knew I would be thinking, wondering, and daydreaming about this ridiculous fantasy slash crush. A few years ago, my plan backfired, and I had to stop by his stand at an event. As we shook hands, I felt this buzzing electricity, and I remember thinking, what the hell was that? At that moment, my crush became full-time. A year and a half ago, we took the relationship several steps further, although both married at the time. I have since separated from my spouse and know that one reason this man came into my life was to help me realize I wanted slash needed more in a marital relationship. I know, however, there is more to it than just that. I know he and I have shared many lives together, and I am left wondering, what is it that we came here in this lifetime to heal? Was it the idea that you never really lose someone? I do love this soul. And by activating our relationship last year, I have since found greater joy and happiness in my life with myself and the people around me. Maybe I am reaching out to you for confirmation that we have actually had a significant relationship in a past life. Maybe that will help me to continue to move forward.
I got to tell you, what I saw right away was 17th, 18th century in the Caribbean. And no, it isn't that I saw Johnny Depp and Keira Knightley lately, but there really were female pirates. And what I'm sensing is that originally you guys were married. He was the one that went out with, as they called it, letters of marque, and basically did the high seas Robin thing. And you were at home doing the fiance and then wifey thing, and you got sick of it. Because you heard stories, you knew what was going on. So at one point, you gave your two kids to your sister, and you found a way to get on another smaller ship. There were female pirates. And let me tell you, when you and he actually met on the seas, their sparks were flying. He so much wanted to sink your ship, honey, because you were doing what he felt no real woman ought to do, but your ship bested his. So eventually what happened was you came to an agreement. You eventually got him off the sea within about 5 years. You still were the persons that fenced the materials that other pirates, buccaneers brought to you, but you always had this wonderful feeling of, I have proven myself to you. And the relationship was much more on an equal term from that. It's one of the things that I think he often will do is, even if he doesn't mean to lift you up, he will spark you into making your life bigger, better, different. Could be that's what's happening this time. Allie, what do you see?
Okay. Let me just go quickly with hold on, let me get my paper here. Okay. With the separated spouse, I do want to say that when I read through that, I have to say, and I hope I say this right, but this is something, Betsy, that I think you need to also put out with the separated spouse is the Hoponopo? Am I saying that right?
Not sure.
Okay. It's a Hawaiian, it's called the Huna process of, I think it's called Hoponopo. I don't know if I always say it right, but basically you're saying, I'm sorry, I forgive you, I love you. That energy needs to be there for that relationship for me. And it's not just because you ventured out into something different, but it's something that needed to be said and done either way. Okay. Interesting for me, okay, with Bob, I picked up a father-daughter relationship, past life energy. I picked up lovers in a past life energy. I also picked up a childhood sweetheart energy. And it was interesting because that for me was early 1800s. And when I pick up stuff in past life, if I don't get anything specific, I do try to connect to whatever the clothing looked like. You know, I'm not the greatest history buff in the world, but I do my best to put it out there. But I definitely picked up that it was a childhood sweetheart energy in the early 1800s. He passed away around the age of 16 from an illness. And I don't know what illnesses were popular then, but I feel like whatever it was something that, you know, you never got to finish out that relationship for him past the age of 16. And you lived and she lived, Betsy lived until the age of 23 and then passed away from what I felt was a lung issue. So I don't know if it was pneumonia or I don't know if they had, you know, any kind of lung diseases other than that. But, you know, neither one of you lived to very ripe old ages. And so I kind of feel like that energy of that real, I mean, let's face it, childhood sweethearts and that kind of love is intense. And it's, you know, that first love, it's that real, you know, and I think that's my feeling was when you met him 10 years ago, it was that reconnection of that childhood sweetheart energy as well. I definitely feel that there's a fulfillment of the soul's relationships. It's about also completion in all your relationships for both of you. However, I do feel that you both have created a little bit of karma because of the affair in this one, and you're going to have to work through some of that energy if this relationship is going to take it to the next level. You've kind of got to work through the karmic energy that you guys kind of placed in here, which it's not a bad thing, but I think, again, you know, the Ho'oponopo came up for me with the I'm sorry, I forgive you, I love you, because I don't feel that either one of you intentionally wanted to hurt the other one. The other one's spouses, but I do believe that, you know, it, obviously that you were, you know, meant to reunite and reconnect. You also need to, it was also about you completing a lot of your other relationships, which I think is going to, you know, kind of take place here. Also that he needed to work on some self-love from past life energy. And I think that's where his relationship came into the marriage that he was in before you guys connected. And then I said, you both have to some degree, you picked very needy relationships as opposed to reaffirming and completely supportive soul relationships. And so I think at this stage of the game, you guys are ready to kind of go to that next space in terms of, you know, even that unconditional love. You know, I wrote the need to not only be loved truly, but to experience it from that unconditional standpoint. And I think you needed to go through all the other things in order to understand that you're deserving. The word deserve came in very strongly on both ends. And so I think, you know, there's a deserving energy in there. You know, and aside from the, you know, moral or the ethical issues of having an affair, you know, you, I mean, I can't condone people having affairs, but I do understand the energy of it. But it's still, you know, a reason for you to honor that space of your ex or your ex-spouses, and just say, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I forgive you, which is I forgive you, me, the universe. I love you because you do love people. And then just kind of, you know, shift and move on from there. But there's definitely a very strong vibrational pull for you two to finish out this lifetime finally together. That's my opinion.
I don't think I could possibly add anything to that.
Well, you asked me to do homework, so I did.
I did ask you to do homework, and trust me, you know, people think, oh, well, one psychic is going to be in competition with the other. It doesn't work that way. When Allie and our dear friend Sherita, Lexigramist star, who is often on the show with me, when we get together and we do a three-person gallery, which we are going to do on Monday night, assuming that we don't all get washed away, it's wonderful because our energies are so different. Sherita has the lexigramming. That's finding words within words. She's the astrologer and the numerologist. Allie is a rockin' medium. I do the past life stuff and will occasionally channel somebody's higher self. All of these things are different but equal. All of these things are useful. Not all of them are always useful at the same time in the same question. So we toss back and forth. We're like the Harlem Globetrotters, you know, boom, boom, boom. And we're
it's like complementary medicine. It's Western and Eastern meets each other, and they work very complementary to one another. And so the best of each one of us, I think, comes out when we do the work that way. And, you know, usually they put me in the fire front first because I pick up things a little bit differently. And then Corby comes in there with her amazing way of reading. I mean, I've never seen a woman read cards like this woman could read a deck of cards. Holy crap. And I mean, she's just like, woo. And then, of course, she pulls into her intuitive energy to that as well. And then, of course, you know, she is a medium. She pulls the medium energy in, but she just doesn't use it like, you know, everybody else. And then Sherita comes in as the closer, like a little baseball team. She comes in as the closer because she will 9 out of 10 times validate what I've picked up, what Corby's picked up by the numbers and by the astrology. So it's like, you know, it's a rockin' time with the three of us.
It really is. So we're coming up on the end of the show. Allie, once more, please tell people where they're going to find you.
My show is called Wings of Love Radio, and it's going into its sixth year in December. It's pretty cool. It's on AchieveRadio.com, Monday 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific, AllieChesley.com, Facebook.com/AllieChesleyFans, Twitter.com/AllieChesley. You can find me anywhere. Just Google me on the internet. Thank you.
Yes, and trust me, she is worth finding. Now, next week, because it's the first Thursday of the month, we usually do our open mic night, which is, you know, any question on any subject. But I'll be real honest, we're going to be coming out of Sandy at that point. So I may just ask all of my listeners, call in, especially if you were anywhere affected by the storm. Let us know how you are. Let us know what you think this storm means, why it's happening, what you can learn from it. It's the most important thing when you have a game-changing event, the way Sandy looks to be. It doesn't help to be scared. It helps to prep. It helps to remember that there have been floods and fires and earthquakes before. Not that I'm thinking we're having all three on this one. But that a game-changing event like this means all of us need to shift our thinking. So see if you can pick out what the storm means to you, whether you were in it, whether it just missed you, whether a friend needed you from it, whatever it is. Sandy is going to touch probably every single person in the United States in some manner. So eyes open, figure out how it touched you, what you can do to help, because there'll be a lot of that if there are any phone numbers or places you can send money for those who are going to be affected. We will also let you know that. And, of course, we will have time, if you've got them, for the usual questions about relationships and business, and mothers can ask about their kids. I think that's, you know, fair use, all of that. We will be here next week. So in the meantime, this is Corby Mittline. If you want to find me, go to firethroughspirit.com. Find me on Facebook on Corby Mittline or Fire Through Spirit or even White Raven Webinars. Or you can call me at 877-321-CORBY. For everybody on the East Coast, my dears, stay safe. Be smart. Prep now. If you end up with some extra water and candles and batteries, well, so be it. But better to have them and not need them than need them and not have them. So we will all send prayers for safety and for wisdom. And we will see you next week on Empower Readings. Be well, be safe.